Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke chapter 5 as we continue our lessons through the book of Luke. Shall we stand together, the book of Luke chapter 5? We're going to read verses 1 through 6, the book of Luke, third book of the New Testament, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that being Jesus, to hear the word of God. I think it's great when people want to hear the word of God. I think that's why it's important that we are a Bible-believing Baptist church. And they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for what you have given to us this day, the opportunity, Lord, to come and to sing songs, the opportunity to give back a portion that you've given unto us. And now, Lord, the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ and him alone. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. As we've learned the last few weeks, Jesus had gone to Capernaum after leaving his hometown of Nazareth. He had spoken there in the synagogue at Capernaum, and then had gone to the home of Simon Peter, where he found Simon Peter's mother-in-law sick with a great fever. He not only healed Simon's mother-in-law, but he healed a great number of sick and cast devils out of many. Jesus then departed into a desert place, maybe for some quiet time. Yet the people came looking for him. As we note in verse 42, it says that they sought him, they came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. They sought Christ. We live in a world today that seeks pleasure. We live in a day and age where people seek money. All you have to do is go to our cities and you see their casinos. We go into 7-Eleven and we find the lottery, and people are looking for money. But we need to seek our Lord, for that's eternal. They came unto him. How important it is that we are in the house of God. And they stayed him, meaning they held him, begging him to stay. But he told them that he must depart to preach at other synagogues. His job was not done because he had spoken at Nazareth or there in Capernaum. There were other places, and he preached repentance. May I say this, that's a forgotten topic in many churches today, because many churches don't want to, as Dr. Mark said, they don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. He preached the why of repentance because of sin. He preached the need of repentance because we are all sinners, and we've all fallen short of the glory of the Lord. He preached the outcome of repentance, forgiveness. Aren't you glad when you have been forgiven for something that you have done, either by overlooking the pianist special or whatever? How many of you have at one time or another been driving down the road and you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw the lights a-flashing? And the man came up, it's only been men so far in my case, I guess a woman police officer could do the same. But aren't you glad when they say, okay, this is a warning. This is a warning. You've been given some forgiveness. He preached the gladness of repentance, the removal of guilt. May I say this, Satan's greatest attack on Christians, since he can't get your soul because you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, he brings to mind things you've done wrong in the past, guilt. But don't give him the victory. The Lord has the victory. You have been forgiven. And he has preached the final result of repentance, heaven. Some of you look forward to the day of going to heaven to see a loved one. My brother Bob is in my dreams occasionally. He never says anything, but he's there in my dreams. The other day we were playing softball, Bob, and he was there. He was batting. And I just sometimes think of my brother in my dreams, and I think, why don't you say something to me like, hey, I loved you. You were a great brother. But he's just there. He's doing something, but he never speaks. And we look forward to heaven, not because my brother is there, but because Jesus is there. We look forward to that day in which we can bow down before the Lord and thank him for what he has done. Now in Luke chapter 5, we find that Jesus once again is being pressed by the people, wanting to hear his words, for no one ever spoke like him. We find here in this chapter an interesting word. It's found in verse 4. It looks like drought, but it's a chiefly British version of the word draft. And that's how you're supposed to say that here in this verse, draft. And if you look up the word draft in the Webster New Collegiate Dictionary, it says this, the act of drawing a net. Also, the quantity of fish taken at one drawing, the act of moving loads or drawing or pulling to pull. And we find here that Jesus is going to tell them to put down the nets to see what they will catch. In verses 1 through 3, Jesus speaking, and we need to listen when Jesus speaks. You know, Jesus said, build your house upon the rock. Upon him. He tells us that we are to love one another. May I say this to you? If you're going to love somebody, it means the removal of self. You can write that down. If you're going to love someone, it's the removal of self. And that's what Jesus did. He removed his self so that we could know the Lord and his love. When Jesus speaks, we need to realize that he is the door into heaven, that he is the light of the world, that he is the bread of life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through him. We find that he is by the lake of Gennesaret. This is also known, this body of water is also known as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. They are pressing upon him, and he looks for a place to teach them. You know how it is when someone who is famous or someone who is renowned is come to a group, people want to get around him. Now, I don't know if they were asking for his autograph, but they wanted to reach out and touch him. They wanted to be close to him. Do you want to be close to the Lord? Do you want to know him personally? And so he needed to distance himself a little bit from them so that he could sit in a place so they could all see him and all hear him speak. And so he went into this ship that was put out a little ways from the shore. Because one of the ships that was there, it was available. We find that the fishermen were washing their nets either on the shore or on the dock. And he enters into Simon Peter's ship, and it's not by accident that he enters into Simon's. It was on purpose. And the Bible tells us there that from there he taught the people. You know, there are some men and some women who are very gifted when it comes to speaking. Some are very gifted in reading. My wife will remind me once in a while of a young man that was in high school with us. His last name was Ham. H-A-M-M. First name was David, I believe. And he was a gifted reader. And you know, some people are gifted in that way. Maybe you've heard a reading on the radio and it's done by someone that is really good. Maybe you get books on tape and you hear someone who can read well. Maybe you've heard someone that can preach. And some people are very gifted when it comes to their speaking ability. Jesus taught them with authority. The people wanted to hear him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were jealous of him because the common folk wanted to hear Jesus speak. But then in verse 4, Jesus turns his attention back to Simon Peter. This same Simon Peter whose mother-in-law had been ill. This same Simon Peter in whose boat he was now sitting. And he tells Peter, launch out into the deep. Not just get in the ship, launch out, get away from the shore. This was not a joyride, but let down your nets for a draft. Please remember this later. Jesus uses the word nets, plural. It's very important that we realize this. We need to obey the Lord fully and not partially. In verse 5, we see Simon Peter's response. Notice it as we read it. Master, he shows respect. Master, we always include as many people as possible when we don't want to do what is requested of you. Always include as many people as possible. Master, we have toiled. Make it sound dreadful. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Always make it sound pitiful. Can you hear this big, strong fisherman complaining? Oh, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, yet at thy bidding, regardless of how we feel, okay if you insist. Notice, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Let's make sure we know who to blame if it doesn't work out. At thy word. Have you ever blamed God for things going wrong? Have you ever said, Lord, you could have prevented this from happening? Well, Lord, since you insist, I'll let down the net. I mean, after all, you healed my mother-in-law. You know. Notice verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their what break? Their net. Well, what were they told to put down? Nets. And they immediately knew they had caught a great number of fishes because the net began to give away. Can you imagine? These are fishermen. Their livelihood depended upon the fish they brought in. And now the net that they used for their job, for their taking care of their livelihood, it began to break. Wow, this was exciting. Now, some of you have gone fishing. Some of you have been there at the time, and Rudy was telling me about sometimes when he has fished in the past where the fish are so hungry they would strike anything you threw out there. And, you know, I must admit, I've gone fishing twice in my life. Twice. I mean, that's it. I'm going to be about six. I'm not going to tell you how old I'm going to be. That's depressing. But I've gone twice in my life. One time we caught nothing. Another time we caught a lot of things. I was so proud. I took it home and my mother said, go bury them in the backyard. I guess she didn't want to clean them. Maybe they weren't worth cleaning. I don't know. Yes. But wow! What do we do now? They call for their partners, asking for help. There were so many fish that their ships began to sink. Folks, imagine that. There were so many fish. What's Peter's response to this great catch? Let's read verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Jesus had told him what to do, and he'd only partially obeyed. And thus he only received part of what he could have received. Notice verses 10 and 11. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. Now, I don't know what they did with the fish that were in the ship that they had caught. I don't know if they had other people then take them to market. But what we find here is that they stopped being fishermen and they went to following Jesus Christ. They followed him. What is the Lord's message to Simon? What is the Lord's message to you when we read this episode in the life of Christ? Oh, my friend, are you weary and tired? You know, we live in a world that seems to be going at full speed, and sometimes we just want to stop the world and to let us off. Are you afraid to trust in the Lord? Are you willing to step out by faith? We talk about our mission giving, and we thank you for your part. But has the Lord suggested that you do even more than what you're willing to do? Are you willing to walk by faith? I'd like to give you a brief example of a couple that did this very thing. Pastor Mel and Kelly worked here for 4 years. And you remember, he felt the Lord was calling him to Glastonbury, Connecticut to start a church. He was heading out, stepping out by faith. He went to some churches and asked if they would help him for a couple of years. And our church helped support him for a number of years. And then one by one, the churches stopped their support, as it usually is with home mission projects. And he knew this was going to happen. Yet he stepped out by faith. If you were to ask him today, he would say the Lord has provided all the way. Are we willing to step out by faith? Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." May I encourage you, keep on keeping on. Don't retreat. Don't quit. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Paul is nearing the end of his ministry here on earth. And he sends a letter to his friend Timothy. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What was the message that the Lord was trying to tell Peter? Number one is that we serve a God of miracles. Number two, that God will provide if we are willing to step out by faith. We are to trust in the Word of God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Have you put your trust in the Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him today? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? The song doesn't ask, is your heart right with your family? It doesn't say, is your heart right with your neighbors? It doesn't say, is your heart right with those people you work with? It says, is your heart right with God? And I ask you this, is your heart right with God? Peter's wasn't. He complained, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. I've been busy. Okay, nevertheless, I'll do it. He did it half-heartedly. Is your heart right with God? Are you where you need to be spiritually? Shall we stand together? 390 in our psalm book. Is thy heart right with God? Have you served Him faithfully, properly? Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? During the invitation time, you can come to the altar and pray. If you need someone to pray with you, please let it be known. We'll have someone pray with you. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Are you ready for all eternity, where you'll either spend it in heaven or in hell? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. May the Spirit move. Help us, Lord, to have the right and proper faith that we need to have. Help us, Lord, to be willing, gratefully, to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.